Let's open our Bibles, praise God, tonight. And going back in the Song of Solomon, the 6th chapter, praise God for the love that is just, again, overflowing all by the Holy Ghost. But last week, we did venture into the 6th chapter, and we saw the Shulamite finally becoming fully purposed at last. There were glimpses of it, and at times, thank the Lord, as His wooing never ceases, she would grow fervent, but then draw away a little bit. But those distractions, praise God, are behind her now. She's forgetting those things which are behind. And I thank God that her gaze is no longer on those distractions. And that doesn't just mean others, you know, in those daughters of Jerusalem. The biggest distractions in our life can be us, ourselves, and we know that. And the last thing that she really battled with in a big, big way was the trials, were the myrrh. And brothers and sisters, we're in the heart, in the heat of those trials right now. And we look to the Word of God. Not only does it give us comfort, we rejoice. We are thankful to the Lord. He has counted us worthy to receive those. Those are the gifts of due benevolence, as the Word of God tells us. And in those gifts of due benevolence, we understand that's the gift between a husband and a wife. It was given on us on behalf not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. So praise God in that leading and in that knowledge and enlightenment that we go on and we rejoice in the work that He is doing in us to make us the readied wife. Praise His name. Now, as we will see here shortly, and as we have been seeing, but she is finally going to fully captivate him. Kind of interesting how this goes back and forth. See, in the 5th chapter, she finally had her eyes only upon him. At the very end of that, all she could see was him. All her gaze was upon him. And how all glorious she finally saw him. And from that, and in all of that glorious grace, it transforms her from glory to glory. From glory to glory, glory to glory, even into the very image. And we're going to find out tonight that, I'll tell you what, when that really transpires in our life, He stands in awe of her. And praising the Lord as what will come forth this evening in what the lover sees in the Shulamite. Well, now we're getting to the moment where she is going to apprehend Him that has always apprehended her. Just as it says in Philippians, that we would press toward that mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we would apprehend Him that has always apprehended us. And this is what has happened with the Shulamite. We left off that he had gone down to feed in his garden. She knows that as she's asked the question. Well, he's feeding in his garden. She's confident and completely at peace because she knows that his garden is her. She is so thankful and at absolute perfect rest. She knows exactly what he wants, where he is, and what he will feed upon. And that is Christ in her, the hope of glory. Now she knows that this is the pinnacle of praise and rejoicing. That it's no longer, again, about her. It's no longer how much I love the Lord. We left off last night. She realizes that she is His. I am my beloved's. And that's the difference. That's the difference of it all. When we know the love of Christ to us. When we know the love of Christ, that's what grows our love for Him. And that will continue on and on and on until Jesus come if we let the grace of God do it. But from there, he began to tell her of her beauty. We started into that a little bit. Her value beyond compare to him. And it's going to wind up that she is truly the one and only love of his life. So without further delay, let's go ahead and read chapter 6, and we'll begin from verse 1 again. We'll read through a little bit of verse 9, but I don't know if we'll get down there tonight. But let's go ahead. Whither is thy beloved gone? Again, this the daughters of Jerusalem asking the Shulamite, where is he, O thou fairest among women? See, they perceive something in her. Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? Just a moment ago, they were trying to get her to avoid him, to forget him, to go on with them. But her persistence and her encouragement and her love, something's quickened even in these lives to say, hey, look, can we go down with you? Could we maybe look at this? But we understand just in that first statement, they said, where is thy beloved? And that's a huge thing when we talk and visit with people. See, when you don't see the bridal truth, brothers and sisters, you'll never claim him as my beloved. You might see it afar off, but you will not enter in, as it was even shown with Elisha and Elijah. He said, I want that double portion. I want what you have, and I want more. Praise be to God. Lord, always give us that spirit, that the much the more is always being offered. So she says, my beloved has gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies. Thou art beautiful, O my love. This is the bridegroom speaking to her as she claims him and is claimed by him. He says, thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. I won't go back over that, but we touched on that last week, and I do encourage you, if you didn't get that, you need to get it, because that's a wonderful portion there, and so many layers of truth in that precious verse. Turn away thine eyes from me, he says, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep, which go up from the washing, whereof every one bears twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. We'll go ahead and stop there tonight. Now, as we pick it up here from verse 5. He says, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. She is so ravishing and so absolutely stunning, beautiful, shining, that he has to tell her, honey, you're going to have to turn away. It's just too much. I think about Moses coming down from the mount and how they could not bear to look upon him because of, what was it? It was the glory of God that was shining from his face. Do we not pay attention to these things? What do you think this is coming back at him? It's his very glory. She is his glory. And I thank the Lord that he is so in awe of her. This love is so intense in him. He has to say, now, honey, I just can't stand it. You're just going to have to look away just a little bit from me because it's just too much. Got to thinking again, and I thank the Lord for our lives, and I pray that there was a moment of your life where maybe you were romantic, I don't know, but in love, Twitter-pated, whatever you want to say, go see Bambi, you'll kind of understand. And, you know, when you're kind of in that state, you just can't help it. You're Twitter-pated. You're just undone, overcome. And isn't it wonderful? The Lord gives us this. How human he is. He's very man. That's why it's the bride, the Lamb's wife. Isn't that amazing? Yes. He died the Lamb of God. He became man for us and died. And thanks be to God that that is the man that will marry, praise God, the wife. And I am so thankful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that it's such an intimate reality of what he knows as very God of very God, but as very man of very man. Take it for what it is. You miss the beauty of it all and how much he loves us and what he gives us in describing how much, again, he is in love with us. But he really can't contain himself. Her light, as it says in Revelation, as she descends from heaven, having the glory of God in her light blinds him. It's so wonderful. She is so radiantly beautiful. It's all him. You understand that. This is nothing of her. It was all him that did it. It's all the grace of God, as we're going to be reminded over and over again. But she took it. She took it. She didn't deny it. She didn't say, well, that's nice. She didn't say, well, you know, you don't have to be that serious like the daughters of Jerusalem did. Oh, you're just a little too intense. You're back there at a Bible study again? Didn't you read those notes? Don't you already know that? I remember that brother saying to me that one time, oh, I already know that. Oh, no, you don't. That just told me you don't know it. You can never, never receive it all. You just keep on, and he keeps you keeping on. But I do. I chuckle at thinking about my own life, and even with my sons sometimes. You know, you always have to sit them down and say, now settle down. You're embarrassing. You know, and I can kind of see the Father telling that to the Lord. Oh, can I go get her? Now just settle down. I'll let you know, son. But he's coming, and he's coming soon. But notice what it is that ravishes him so as you read this. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. It's her eyes. It's her vision. It's what she sees. And what does she see? She sees his love for her. She sees the love of Christ. She knows it. She knows it not just for everybody else. She knows it for her own. See, there was a time that she was beginning to understand this and know this love, but it was for everybody else. Remember how she was worried about everybody else's garden and kind of over here and over there, and then she even lost track of him, didn't know where he was. Well, praise be to God. Now she is focused only upon his love to her. Praise God. And how fruitful then she becomes. She becomes more fruitful than she could ever be. See, that's the thing. You allow the love of Christ to really, really grow and to be magnified in your life. Then you will become fruitful. You'll become fruitful to the goodly pearl. You'll become fruitful, praise God, to those for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there'll even be after effects for everybody else too. What God will do for you. But it's wonderful. But see, she sees his heart. And that's what has him completely ravished. That she knows him in the depths. She knows him in the depths. Think about it again, even in the natural, brothers and sisters. Spouses, nobody knows you like your spouse. They just don't. You live with them, you abide with them, you grow with them, you're one with them, you have family with them, there's fruit, praise God. How many types does he have to give us? This is it, and this is who she is to him, and this is why he loves her so, this is why she's so stunning to him. It's because the enlightened eyes of understanding by the Holy Ghost, she took and continues to take from him. Whatever you have, I'll take it. That's why Esther stood out from all the other women. She was the only one that only took what the keeper of the women would give, the chamberlain. Read that. Understand it. Those little things mean everything. And she was encouraged and told, don't take anything else but what the keeper of the women will give you. And that's the Holy Ghost to us. Don't take anything else but what the Holy Ghost have. And what does the Holy Ghost have? He only has the things of Christ. Couldn't have anything else. So we know if we think we're being led in spirit or we have some great inspiration that isn't in this word, we know it's not of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you that right now. That's a false spirit. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you one thing. He'll give you truth. And he'll give it to you in love. And he'll give it to you in abundance. And he'll give it to you in power. And boy, does he give it to you. So that's our Lord. But see, how wonderful that her eyes are enlightened and she is one that has come to know the full knowledge of the truth. These are the ones, brothers and sisters, that see the glory of his grace. The glory of his grace. See, that's what his grace does. It's grace and glory. But I pray to the Lord, Lord, let me see more of the glorious grace of God. Amen? because that's what he wants us to be, his glory. So again, it's the glory of his wondrous grace. By eyes that are set upon him, by eyes that are set upon his grace, like happened in the end of the fifth chapter, everything was upon him. We are transformed from glory to glory. Yes, into his image, but into his glory, because it's him. He's all glorious. So we are transformed into that glorious union with him, all Christ. This is why, if you go back over to Revelation 4 and study that out again, and I'm sure you're reminded as I say this, if you're not already thinking about it, those four living ones, the ones that are in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, did you know that they're full of eyes? Yes, before, behind, and within. They see every dimension. They see every direction. They see it all. There isn't anything that they don't see. Oh, can you imagine? He would all men to be saved and come to a full, complete, exact, intimate knowledge of the truth. Praise God. I didn't have to sign up at any cemetery. I didn't have to sign up at any college, because that ain't going to give it to you. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And there's nothing more that he wants to give than that. You know that? That's why that he that wills to know will know the will of God. He'll know what the purpose, the power, the provision, all of that, the very plan of God and what the ultimate and the pinnacle of it is, that Christ Jesus will have his bride. Hallelujah. So these four living ones, the bridal company, see, they have a vision. They have dove's eyes. They have eagle's eyes. They peer and see into, yea, the deep things of God. And what are the deep things of God? It's God's very own heart. That's why David had such a close, wonderful intimacy that very few in the Old Testament ever had. Because he was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to see it. See, that was all of those precious ones in the Word of God. Think about how they were encouraged. Moses, what did he want to do? Lord, I want to see you. See, they wanted to see more, didn't they? Elisha, what did he want? He wanted a double portion. So the encouragement to always want more, to go unto him out from among the camp. Didn't want to just have this. When he tells me I can have it all, why wouldn't I want to have it all? Praise God. Yes, praise God. And this is how it is, seeing that very heart of God. And these are the ones that have the vision of the pearl of great price. And not just for somebody else. It's got to be for me. Praise God. And if I'll have that vision for my life, you know what? That same vision of my life will be there for yours. And I'll want it more than anything. Because that's the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The true worshipers that the Spirit has been seeking and wooing for the wife of the Son. I realize, praise be to God, that's me. That's me. And I will settle down in that by the grace of God. Then he goes on to say, those eyes, that vision has overcome me. Precious word there, overcome. It means it's apprehended me. It's possessed me. So see, you go right back over there to Philippians, that we would apprehend that which has apprehended us. You understand that? That apprehend is the same thing. When we take that grace, that precious vision of the immensity and the intensity, all of the things of what grace is purposed to do in our life, to grow us up into him in all things. Praise God. That's when we apprehend him. Praise the Lord. That's when he, praise the God, oh, honey, you're going to have to turn from me. It's just too much. That's that intensity of love that's in return from seeing this marvelous grace. It also means to press upon this word overcome. It even means to wound. And I appreciate, it was encouraged many times in a precious sister not too long ago about his wounded side. He is touched with the rib portion. He's touched with that pierced rib on the cross. He's touched with those that jointly, willingly, joyfully suffer together with him, because they will reign with him. And what a love story that is. But then he goes on to talk about the physical attributes of her, things so symbolic about the bride, and how they just, no one can compare. And I pray the Lord stir this up in our hearts tonight and really awaken us, brothers and sisters, with the intensity of how much He loves us. And the intensity, praise God, of the Father's love and how He wants us to be ready, and the purpose of the Holy Ghost and what's going on right now in those that will believe. So going on there in verse 5, where He says, "Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me." Now He begins to describe her. "Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead." Now the hair. And we've heard of the hair before. But why again the hair? Because the hair speaks of His glory. He loves to look upon His glory. He loves to look upon only what His grace has done. Amen? You understand that? There be no glory but of Him, from Him. Him, He is all glorious. So the only way that that glory can be received by us is by the grace of God. Isn't it wonderful? Praise be to God. Knowing moment by moment the need for grace, the treasure, the beauty, the untold riches of grace. In everything, at every turn. Every little victory, brothers and sisters. See, the enemy, all he wants you to do is to get down. To think somehow that you have just fallen from grace. And that's when you fight. And you believe more in the grace of God. Say, yep, I failed, but that's exactly what the grace of God's for. And I know the grace of God's going to encourage me right now, which it is. And I don't even need to be talking to you anymore, because I'm all about the grace of God. See, those should be the shortest conversations you ever have, is something at the enemy. Don't waste your time. Just go on. It's the grace of God. Always the grace of God. And He's going to bring it in its absolute fullness to you. You're going to think that, you know, you've got something whooped in your life or whatever. You start to get a little puffed up. You forget what the grace of God in that dimension is for. And the Lord will, again, He's so faithful to magnify His grace for you, that He's going to bring you to that place again, that it's going to be the grace that's magnified that brings more of His glory to your life for Him. Isn't that wonderful? See how we cannot lose when we always turn and go boldly to the throne of grace. You see how He wants us to be so confident in grace? He wants us to be so assured in grace. He doesn't want us to turn anywhere but grace. And you think what man wants to do. They always want to turn you back to self, or here's your checklist, or here's how you're going to get it done, here's how you attain, here's how you'll go. The Bible tells us we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. This Word working in us. And that Word works by His Spirit. That Word works by His grace. And that's what it's going to be, and that's what it's always going to be. It's going to magnify the grace of God. Now, this is so wonderful that this hair, again, speaks of His glory. His glorying, His beauty, the magnificence of His grace. That's what He sees in her. That's why it's first the hair. He sees His glory. He sees His perfect, ultimate, precious work of grace. He's looking at His bride. That's what He sees. That's why the hair is spoken of first. The hair obviously speaks of so many wonderful things as well too. But it speaks specifically that, again, that the woman is the glory of man. I thank the Lord for my wife. That's my natural glory, and she sits over there. And brothers and sisters, He said this before about the hair. So again, this is so vitally important, her glorious hair. And the reason the hair is also so important is because He is her covering. That speaks of the covering of what He is to her. She has completely submitted to her husband. This is not just any hair, as it says here. But again, this is that hair as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead or Mount Gilead. And remember, it'd kind of be funny. Could you imagine telling somebody, you know, your hair is just like a flock of goats? You know, you think, well, Mike, I got something to tell you too, you know. But that's why you got to know the Word of God. You know, Ryan, don't use that one on. Maybe, you know, I think Lindsay's ready. But we're so thankful to God for His encouragement to us. But it is so true. See, this is such a beautiful analogy, what he's given her here, because these are not any particular goats. These were the long-haired goats. We spoke about these that lived on Mount Gilead, and they were the ones that were experts in climbing. Those were the goats that had the hind's feet. Those were the goats that could go way up into the high places where even other goats couldn't go. They would jump from crag to crag. I always remember when one of the sisters had sent me it was a big dam, and that wall was just completely sheer straight, and it was hundreds of feet up high, and it was kind of a further picture back from this dam and this big concrete wall that stood here, and it was somewhere as they say, in the Holy Lands around there. And as the picture, you know, started off back, it almost looked like there were little cracks in the dam, you know, that, oh my goodness, that dam's breaking. But as it got closer and closer and closer, those goats were in that dam, in those rocks. And you'd look at them there and you'd think, how in the world did they get there? It was impossible, because it looked like it was literally sheer straight up, that they almost had suction cups going up there. But that's what the hind's feet do. They bring you through the impossible. They bring you through things where you're completely upside down. But he's always right side up, because you're on the rock that's higher than you. And that's how God does it. And this is what he's talking about here. Honey, you're so beautiful. You've overcome me. Your hair is also glorious because you have the hind's feet. You believe in my grace. You're fully purposed to climb to the top, to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's the beautiful meaning of the word Gilead. It means to witness. This is her testimony. And brothers and sisters, you think of the things that we have to go up against to truly be like these impossible goats. It's got to be impossible. It's got to truly even surprise other Christians. How in the world are you still going on? Those daughters of Jerusalem were in shock. They knew of him. They knew the Lord. But then they see what's going on in that life, and they're just, oh my goodness. But this sister has a testimony of the first love. She has gone to the high places, and it's all by grace that she's gone there, and she's gone to the heights of heights, as these goats go to the high place, because she traveled there with the hind's feet. Her testimony is, it's all nothing but the grace of God that was with me. Amen. It's exactly what it is. Because there's no other way we're going there if we don't follow Paul as he followed Christ. And that's why he would always say, oh, it wasn't of me. It was the grace of God that was with me. Thank you, Lord, for this encouragement. And before we go on, I want to mention just a little bit about another word. It means appear. Do you see how it says, as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead? That's a precious word. That word appear means to sit or to lie down. Isn't that wonderful? See, it's just like looking, I was telling you about those goats that were up there on that sheer rock wall. They're just standing there, sitting there. They weren't getting busy doing a lot of different things. They're just standing in that crag or whatever it was that Lord had put them in. But see, brothers and sisters, they appear. This means to settle down and rest. They have taken the place of seated together with him. They've taken that place. That's why the word of God says, his wife hath made herself ready. You're going to take that place now. You're going to go by the grace of God, and so confident in the grace of God, and again, only in the grace of God, because who does he give grace to? He gives grace to the humble. We know this. So again, we know it is all him, but when you take that and lay hold of it, you rest. You rest. You know you have the best part. That's why Mary at his feet, she wasn't fussing with everybody else when they were getting honor. God help us not to be like that, huh? Let them fuss. I know what I got. I don't need to justify it. I don't need to argue with you about it. Then I'm getting distracted again. You see how easy that can happen? And there are going to be ones that will come at us. Ones that even mean good, just like Martha. Come on now, you got to be helping. And the Lord wanted her to sit. And how helpful she was just to sit at his feet, because she became the testimony of the first love. praise his name. See, not many people are going to take that, are they? Because they don't understand it. They think they've got to be busy. Why do you think that the majority of Christian churches anymore, when you walk in those doors, they want to get you busy. They want to give you a title. They want to make you something, make you feel good, get you in a group, get you in this. I'm so thankful for the grace of God that I had a pastor that said, that's great, go sit down and listen. That's not a popular thing, is it? But aren't you thankful that you sit and you listen? I sit and listen. I sit and listen by the grace of God every day. Because the Spirit, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And he's given you an ear. He's given me an ear. And oh, may he be magnified. May we just sit and listen. Praise God. Now, how wonderful is this that we can sit and take the place in the midst of the throne? Not that I've already apprehended or attained, I understand that, but I do believe in the grace of God. I do believe in the faithfulness of God. Do you know I'm actually confident in the faithfulness of God? I really am. And I do believe by the grace of God and the faithfulness of God, he's going to perform the good work that he's begun. I know he will, and I am going to rest upon that, and I know it's going to be his strength. Because, see, the Bible even tells us those that lean upon his breast. Isn't that wonderful? You think about leaning upon his breast. Those are the ones that are going to come out of the wilderness, aren't they? And when you lean upon him, let me tell you something, you're resting. You're not out in front of him saying, well, you know, I got to whack these bushes. Or let me go take him out, Lord. This will be a good one for me to do. If you're leaning on his breast, I imagine somebody's fighting the battle for you. You think? Oh, yes, praise God. Lord, let me be like this. I feel like I'm way down here. But you know what? That grace's learning curve is awful steep. Believe him. He'll take you on, and he'll take you so quickly. Now, let's go back over to verse 6 and look at this. He says, thy teeth are as a flock of sheep, which go up from the washing, whereof every one bears twins, and there is not one barren among them. Again, you go back to chapter 4 in this, and he references this again. He talks about her beauty. He's talked about her hair. He talked about her teeth. Very similar here. But she's receiving it, even at this time, more magnificently. He's given her this witness. Again, Jesus, when you really go on with him and really hear what the Spirit says, he makes you know, not just feel, he makes you know that you're all beautiful to him. You do. You're confident. You're bold in him. And people that don't understand that, that might be young in different things, they'll take it as arrogant. They will. When you really believe the Word of God, those that are immature in it will think lots of different things, and oftentimes that you're arrogant. I pray the Lord always let us be, because if we're really grown up in him, we're the most humble. We're the most lowly. Just always magnifying him. But when you magnify his grace, you are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You're not ashamed of the grace of God. You're bold in the grace of God. You're thankful for the grace of God. You don't need to be sheepish. Praise God. I'm just boasting in the Lord. I'm boasting in his workmanship. I'm boasting that it's all him. Amen? So let us not be slow to that. But see, it references the teeth again. Going from her glory, her hair, to her teeth, which means the feeding. See, all the glory, brothers and sisters, comes from the feeding. Sheep get fat by feeding. Sheep get starved when they don't eat. Sheep get sick when they're eating the wrong things. But sheep get fat when they're fed that knee-deep clover. Praise God. See, and the one thing about this precious sister and her representation to us is now she continues on in her feeding. And she continues on in her feeding so much that she feeds him. Oh, how could I feed the Lord? Well, let me tell you something. My wife, she does beyond for me. And I believe she'd say the same. You know, he does beyond for me. You know, they must just be one. What do you think? Do you know it has to be the Lord? Well, Lord, what could I ever bring you? Oh, honey, just bring me all that grace, and you've brought me everything. Praise God. Are we getting it? I believe we are. Hallelujah. But she continues on in her feeding, and her appetite for him is insatiable. Once again, her teeth are as a flock of sheep. So wonderful. It speaks again of the evenness, the symmetry, the able to feed and also able to feed others. And you notice here it says, they go up from the washing. This speaks again of the high place, the heights of feeding. See, when you feed upon the whole counsel of God, you'll go up. You will. You'll go higher. You'll go from glory to glory. You'll see from your perspective, and praise God, and what the Lord will show you will be more vast. You'll see in detail, but you'll see the much the more all the time. Why do you think they had to take John? Why couldn't John just stand there and look at the glory of God descending from heaven, the bride? He had to go up just to see her. Huh? He had to be taken to the high mount to look at her. What you feeding on? Praise God. That's what strong meat does. That's what feeding on, what we're feeding on tonight. If we'll take it and it becomes our true first love, my goodness, it just takes you right there. But this feeding is special. And thank God, we're so grateful to him. See, when we feed, we exalt him. He'll exalt us in due time, but we exalt him. It's like, do you remember when we studied about the ark? And how the ark had the latches, the four latches on each end of the ark. And those little eyelets on each end of the ark were for those staves to go through. And that was the only way that that ark would ever be lifted up, was when those eyelets, in a sense, those things were pierced with him. Brothers and sisters, as we go on, as we feast upon, yea, the deep things of God, when we go on and are willing to jointly rule and reign with him, we exalt him. We go to the high places, praise God. And we thank the Lord that this is what it is. But only his word can do this. And it's only the washing in the word of God. What does the word tell us? He tells us the word of his grace builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. It's the word of his grace that builds us up. Amen? The word of his grace that builds us up. Praise God. That's what does it. Not anything of me. It's the word of his grace. So we're thankful for this. And again, it's line upon line all over the place in here, brothers and sisters. But every tooth, it says, a twin. Once again, that magnifies the double portion. Remember when we read this earlier, it said that she had two rows or two sets of teeth? See, here it is again, that these teeth, they're double. There's twins. She feeds as a sister, she feeds as a spouse. She feeds as a daughter, she feeds as a daughter-in-law. Isn't that wonderful? She is a double portion to the Godhead. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you so thankful? Aren't you so grateful to God with everything that he has done for you and given to you and let you see in all of this, that we can even see the more and take it and give this back to him? Oh, they're delighted. I pray you can see in the throne room right now the thrill, the exaltation. And again, as the father has to look back over at the son, honey, sit down. I'll send you in a moment. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that he gives us these visions. Now, you'll notice here too, the double set is required for consuming and feasting upon the strong meat. Mention that. None are barren, it says here. There's none childless. Nothing is unfruitful. She has an abundance of fruit coming forth from her in her feeding. I always appreciate how Brother Hill would say, she has no snaggle tooth. She has no missing tooth. She has no tooth decay. Oh, what a beautiful mouth, all because of him. Because of what she's feeding on and those types of things. And I thank the Lord again as we grow on. We get to see these things in such abundance and the fullness of glory as we go on. Now verse 7. It says here, as a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. And we're back to those pomegranates once again. And The temple, it speaks of the seat of the mind. See, she's settled. She has a mind that is stayed upon him. She's not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And that, like a piece of a pomegranate, is more than just being fruitful here, and that's a wonderful meaning of it. But if you remember about those pomegranates in 1 Kings, Solomon's house, the pomegranates were the crowns or the caps upon the pillars. Once again, the pomegranates speak of the crown. The temple is the mind. The pomegranate is the crown. This precious sister's mind is stayed upon the crown. Just like the lily, as we read again last week. The lily in the tabernacle was the crowning upon the pillar again. So she has her mind stayed. Her vision is on the crown. Can you imagine why Paul said, hold that fast which thou hast? Or I should say in Revelation where it says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown? Huh? Why did Paul said at the very end, I've won. There's a crown of righteousness, that exalted rank of righteousness crown. It's laid up for me. I got it. And not unto me only, but unto all them also that love. That love. Not that do, not that work, not that try. Those that love his appearing. You love his appearing? Praise God. You love his appearing? All right. See, you're on the right track. Don't let the enemy tell you different. It's all him. And praise God, what a bunch of precious camels out here that we're riding. Hallelujah. Know it. You couldn't get there any other way. Don't be discouraged, brothers and sisters. Had to be that way. Had to be that way. Take it and run well. Now, so these pomegranates show that her mind is stayed upon the crown. Once again, within the locks. That's such a precious thing because, see, that's behind the veil. That's talking about that inner sanctuary. It talks about the Holy of Holies. It talks about the intimacy. But even more so, as we've read about beyond the within the locks, it speaks of the bedroom chamber. That's what that is. Beyond those locks, beyond what was shut out for everybody else. She's gone there. He's gone there. That's where their fellowship is. It's in the most intimate way. That's why, once again, when you read the word knowledge, never forget it. Rejoice in it. When you read to know the love of Christ, when you read that I would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, you look that up, and in the depths of its meaning is the knowledge between a husband and wife. It's what it is. This is that place in that chamber, in that bridal chamber. That's why it's the wife that has made herself ready. And he is always mining and he's always encouraging for that fellowship. Yea, again, the deep things of God by his Spirit. Those crowned ones, praise the Lord, as we see right here. Again, this is the cherubim within the veil. This is in that Holy of Holies that God gave us that precious vision of. Now, I want us to think about those four things that were just described of this precious Shulamite that he points out. Her eyes. Amen. Her vision. Praise God. Her hair. Her glory. Praise God. Her feeding was her teeth. Her temples. The crown. So let's again allow the Holy Ghost to take some layers off of this and to look into this a little bit more. The vision, going back to that, we see her eyes speaks of the eagle. That vision to be able to peer and to see into, yea, the deep things of God. So we see that being typed there. Now you think of the hair, the glory, that the woman is the glory of man. This speaks of the humanness. In the second type here, I believe it's very evident. We have the eagle in the vision. In this glory, we see the man. It's the humanness. It's him. It's that sharing of what we'll have. In the next, we see the feeding, the servant, the teeth. Praise God, that's the ox. We're to feed. We're to, again, to be able to masticate and to feed upon these things of God. And oh, how that is such a precious serving of the Lord, is to grow in that knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then finally, the temples, the crown, speaks of the king or the lion. I believe the Lord has given us such a precious vision of the four living ones in this. You'll find that in Revelation. Very interesting, though, and I am praying the Lord encourage my heart even more in it. This is exact opposite order of how the Revelation four living ones are introduced. Yeah, it's completely the other way. So I'm praying on some things, and the Lord just continued to reveal them. I like those little things, not to get lost in the details, but those details will take you to a height to see the forest like you've never been able to see it. So we thank God for that. But brothers and sisters, this precious pattern again, I want you to know this. He's just rolling it out again and again and again and again. And it's in here. And we just wait on the Spirit to bring these things forth. We know that. But see, this is Paul's gospel being revealed. This is what the gospel, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, this is bringing to light this stuff and these things in the Old Testament, especially here in the Song of Solomon. I'm seeing more and more that so much of the Song of Solomon, as we've seen so many types in this thing, it exposes all of Revelation. It gives us the map and the proceeding of all about Revelation. In so many different ways. I thank the Lord. I mean, what vivid color it brings. We're going to stop there, but I do want to mention that 8th and 9th verse. See, as he tells her about her beauty and as he sees her, the 8th and 9th verse, we get right into the ranks. He brings us right back in again to the 4th chapter and going on forward of Revelation. And we're going to see these different ones. There's queens. There's ruling companies. Appreciated even how Brother Copley brought that out. Oh, they've got crowns. They're queens. But they're not the one and only in verse 9. I think that kind of sounds to me like 24 elders sitting around. They got crowns. They got thrones. But they don't got what she got. Then you got concubines after that. Oh, my. Many on that sea of glass. And they really knew something. And you know, to be a concubine, that tough place, kind of like a palm waver. Not the place of a queen, in a sense, the many queens, but obviously not the place of the one and only. And then finally, you got old. You got numerous virgins. Well, I believe Sister Bodie points out as well, too, there you got the 144,000. And there's lots of things in here. Enjoy it. The Lord enjoys you to enjoy it. He waits for you to enjoy this. And I thank God these are things we can know, but don't let them be here. Let this be, again, that fresh proposal. He said, honey, this is fresh for you right now. This is what I have for you now. I want you to rejoice in this now. Have your eyes set upon me. And this, praise God, will captivate our hearts, and it captivates him. And as I've said to you many times, you know, it doesn't really matter what's going on around you. Doesn't matter how crowded that restaurant is. Doesn't matter how mad everybody's family is or what's going down. When you got two that are really in love, everything else kind of fades away. When we get to that 9th verse, even though he said something about those queens and those concubines and about those virgins, he don't speak of them no more. It's just my one and only. That's why the four living ones through Revelation, they're the ones that keep being spoken of again and again. That's what he sees in you. Let us not miss that. Don't let this pass us by. by the grace of God in Jesus' name. Let's stand and be dismissed.